Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr here, sitting in for Brendan. Now, everyone loves a good bargain or the feeling that they've managed to save a few euros, but refusing to shell out on luxury items that has started to become its own industry. The popularity of dupes and dupe culture has grown over the past few years. So how much, or so much so, that should the big brands be worried? Well, we're going to ask that question now of writer and consultant in fashion law, Elaine Maguire O'Connor, joins us on the line from New York to discuss the dupe takeover. Thanks so much for joining us, Elaine. Early your time. Firstly, start by defining for us, what exactly is a dupe?
Absolutely, Áine. So a dupe is shorthand for duplicate, and it's essentially a less expensive alternative to a high-priced or premium product. So I'd say they usually take inspiration from the original higher priced item rather than directly masquerading as being the product itself. So perhaps like the packaging will be similar, or nameplay. In fashion, you might see a similar pattern or shape. It's a nod to the original, if you like.
So differentiate then that, a dupe, with what we might have been used to in the past, counterfeits or fakes, as they might have been called.
Yeah, absolutely. So counterfeit, on the other hand, so they try and pass themselves off as being the real deal, and they'll use the original brand's trademark to confuse consumers into believing that they're purchasing like the authorised product. For example, if you've ever been to New York and you go to Canal Street, there's rows and rows of these stalls selling fake Louis Vuitton and Gucci handbags. Now, they're usually made like cheap leather, and they'll have bad stitching and the lining won't be great. But at first glance, you might think they were genuine because you'll see that trademark, that LV or the double G. And, you know, you're fooled into believing they're real until you closely examine them and realise that, you know, they're really a cheap fake.
You're working in the whole area of fashion law. With then the dupes versus the counterfeits that we're used to, is this a new, very murky, ambiguous legal grey area now?
I wouldn't say it's a new area because, I mean, dupes have always been around. If you think back years ago, the women's fashion magazines, they would always show a designer catwalk item next to a high street alternative. There used to be one called Skinted or Minted. And the high street has always taken inspiration from the catwalk. You know, that's kind of how the high street developed. And, you know, it's not necessarily illegal. It's just when you cross that line, and brands have to be very careful that they don't cross the line and find themselves on the wrong side of an IP lawsuit.
Because it is intellectual property that we're talking about here, and copyright.
It is, yeah.
And as you say, there's a long precedent. Are you seeing, though, so it might not be new, but are you starting to see the concept of dupes starting to infiltrate maybe new and different areas, whether it's maybe supermarket products or electronics?
Yeah, it's not so much that there's new, it's more that it's really taking over. So dupe culture is booming as younger buyers really embrace ways to save money, and they're sharing their findings across social media platforms. And there's been a real kind of generational shift in the acceptance of not just dupes, but counterfeits. So a study by the EU Intellectual Property Office a couple of years ago found that over 50% of Irish people between the ages of 15 and 24 think it's okay not just to purchase dupes, but counterfeits if they can't afford the real thing. Now, counterfeits can be very nasty. You know, there's a lot of human rights abuses associated with them, and some very dangerous ingredients included in counterfeit products. Yeah, that's where you have to be very careful.
Yeah, so as you say with the counterfeits, there's definitely been stories through the years of animal urine, you know, animal feces being found in counterfeits. So definitely huge questions about risks and quality. Is the quality, though, of the dupes better? Would you be able to spot, you know, any less quality in how they're being approached and managed?
Well, it varies enormously. I would say if you buy a dupe in a budget supermarket, for example, or on the high street, in a shop in Ireland or somewhere in the EU, the quality is probably going to be okay. It's unlikely to ever match up to the quality of, you know, a designer item or a luxury makeup purchase. For example, if with perfume, it mightn't be as potent. Or if you get, you know, makeup, eyeshadow palettes, the colours won't be as vibrant, or they won't last as long. But, you know, the quality quite a lot can be okay. And in some cases, it can be excellent. You don't have this big difference between them. But it just, a lot of ingredients are kind of hard to recreate on a budget, particularly when it comes to makeup or in fashion, you can't really like cut the clothes or use fabrics of the same quality. So they're unlikely to be as high a grade quality.
You talked there about dupe culture. It's booming at the moment and it's a generational shift, which I assume is more the Generation Z. What has changed there? Does that generation maybe just care about exclusivity less, being on brand, literally? Like, I feel like, you know, for this generation, of, I'm calling myself a millennial, that the, probably once upon a time you would have had some sense of shame, embarrassment if maybe you weren't wearing the real brand.
Well, that's it. There, like I said, there's been this big generational shift. Younger people see dupes as a status symbol now. So when I was a teenager, like, you'd be mortified to admit having like a supermarket own brand copy of a designer item. Like, you'd get an unmerciful slagging if you were caught wearing something fake. But with teenagers today, they seem to be of the opposite mindset. And they look at people spending a huge amount of money on an item. They're like you can get that for a tenth of the price. You know, fools and their money. Why are you? And the reasons why, I mean, I guess the cost of living crisis is probably partly to do with it. So we've had soaring inflation over the last few years, higher interest rates, and I think everybody's got less money in their pocket, but particularly for luxuries. And they're looking for ways for a little treat, but without breaking the bank. So that's definitely one element. But I think social media has also had like a big impact on things.
So that generation being a little bit more conscientious about affordability. But the downside, of course, of all of this is the small businesses, you know, the small niche designers. Talk to me about the impact it's having on them.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem. They're the ones that really lose out. So when it comes to big brands copying other big brands, nobody really cares that much because they think, you know, oh, somebody's copying Gucci, they've loads of money, why would I care about ripping them off? And, you know, that makes perfect sense. But when it comes to the small designers, like, it's very, very difficult for them. So, I mean, for a fashion designer, for example, it's very difficult to run a business anyway in the current environment. And some of the big fast fashion conglomerates, like, they've made it part of their business model to copy young designers, you know, independent designers, because they know that they don't have the legal resources or the money or the time to fight back against
it. Are they pricing that in, that they can take a calculated risk to imitate, copy, but they're baking in, look, there's a threat of legal here, of course, but because these are small-time operators, they're not going to want the legal costs and hassle of this. So they're pricing it in from the get-go.
That's it, exactly. They work that into their budget. So they'll say, for example, we'll copy 20 designers. Maybe one of them will take a lawsuit. So we'll just build that into our budget and we'll take the risk, because overall, they're going to come out with a huge profit. And it's a horrible way to run a business, but, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way it seems to be at the moment.
Talk to me about the idea of diffusion lines and how will we maybe see dupes sitting alongside the real thing in future? How do you think this could yet iterate again and evolve?
Yeah, well, interesting. A lot of brands have actually shut down their diffusion lines over the last few years, like Dolce & Gabbana or Marc Jacobs. They're just two of them who shut them down.
Yeah, explain to us what we mean by those diffusion lines.
Well, a diffusion line is generally kind of a lower cost line that a fashion designer will bring out. So, for example, Dolce & Gabbana, you know, a dress might cost $2,000. So they brought out this diffusion line several years ago called D&G, and there you would get the dress for $500. Now, it's still extremely expensive for most people. So even with these diffusion lines, the majority of people can't afford them either, especially like the younger generation. You know, to them, they can get a dress on Sheen or in pennies for, you know, $5-10. So, you know, a diffusion line is not going to make any difference to them. They can't afford to spend like $500 on a dress anyway.
And you say that trend anyway is being kind of shelved by the big brands. So if we're seeing the dupes booming, we're seeing the small-time operators under pressure and the bigger brands taking these calculated risks, what do you think the future holds? Will dupes maybe overtake the real thing in future?
Well, interestingly, the search engine results are showing that in some categories, searches for dupes are now overtaking searches for the real thing. So brands are really going to have to adapt to that and find a way to make it work. Like at the moment, I think the prices of particularly designer products and luxury products have just grown so much. And they use inflation as an excuse. But to be honest, I think, you know, again, that's just an excuse. Okay. For example, shampoo has gone up on average by 30% in the last 8 years. Okay. But inflation hasn't gone up by that much.
OK, well, thank you for that. That is fascinating. I learned loads. Elaine Maguire O'Connor, writer and consultant in fashion law, joining us from New York City. Thank